Well, Lord, we just thank you for your grace and your mercy upon us tonight, Lord. We ask, Lord, that you place it in our hearts to covet the special gifts, the best of the gifts. And always the best of the gifts, Lord, is the one that suits the moment. And we praise you, Father, that you're going to do that. But, Lord, I pray that you would allow the gift of wisdom, according to what the word says, is the one that should be coveted the most, Father. And I thank you for that. And I thank you, Lord, that we place it in our hearts to covet all the gifts when we need them, Lord. And I thank you for that, Lord, because I know that when we covet them and the time comes that we need them, they'll be available for us. That's what your word says. And I praise you, Father, for doing that, because, Lord, it looks to me like the gifts are not in operation near enough for the edifying and encouragement of the body. And Father, I just ask and I pray that you place it in people's hearts to want those gifts in operation in their fellowships, Lord. And I praise you for it, Lord. And I thank you that that's what's going to happen. And Lord, I just ask that you be with us tonight, lead us and guide us tonight in these gifts. What we call the power gifts. And Father, that the truth would come out according to what these gifts are actually created for. And I praise you, Father, for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, has anybody got any prayer requests?
Michael?
Yes, go ahead.
My son and daughter-in-law are driving to Detroit tonight, and they're flying out to Memphis tomorrow morning. And I pray that, Father, I pray that you would grant them a safe trip there and back and give them an enjoyable time for that. And I have a praise report. I hurt my foot today. And it doesn't seem too bad, and I'm believing that it's going to be all better by tomorrow, in Jesus' name.
Thank Amen. You. Yes, Lord, we hook our faith up with Marlene that she is healed, in Jesus' name. No more pain. And we thank you, Father, for being with her son and daughter-in-law while they travel to Memphis and back home. It's going to be a safe and protected trip, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. All right. Anyone else? Yeah, go ahead, Missy.
I like to ask for some prayer. I woke up this morning and I'm trying out this new pillow, and I'm not sure if that's what the problem was or what, but I seem to sleep all right, but I just like had this crick in my neck and tight in my shoulders, and I asked Merle to agree with me in prayer earlier today, and I was feeling better for a while as we were outside doing some stuff and all, and then when I came back in, it was just like I just felt like it was like all tightening back up on me and everything, and I have this stupid headache, so I'd appreciate some prayer on that.
Okay. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you that we can come to you. We thank you, Lord, that we have the anointing that you've given us, that we're not under the curse. Missy is not under the curse, and we praise you, Father, that she's not. In the name of Jesus, we command that stiff neck demon out of her neck right now in Jesus' name. And we praise you, Father, that there's no more symptoms of this cold coming on her. We cast them out. We bind them up and cast them off of her right now in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Father, that Missy is healed. She doesn't have this anymore. And she's going to sleep a good sleep tonight. And she's going to be absolutely healed, or she's already been healed in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. You believe that, Missy?
Amen. I do.
Amen. Me too.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
And I'm sure everybody here does too.
Amen. Oh, I also wanted to share, what day was it last week? Oh, one of the days last week I went and to get my Pennsylvania driver's license, and I had to do an eye test, and I was a little concerned about that test, but I just, you know, believe it or not, I had asked you all to pray and believe with me that I would pass my test. Oh my gosh. When I went up there to look in that thing and he told me read line 4, I was like, it was so easy to read, it wasn't even funny. It's, you know, and the thing of it was is, you know, I believe it's the Lord, but it was also, when you go and look in those things, when I went and had to get my license in Tennessee and do my vision test, they are not lit up very well at all. It's like dark when you look into that. But then when I took the vision test for Pennsylvania to get relicensed in Pennsylvania, it was lit up so well or whatever. And I said to the guy, you know, that there was such a big difference. He says, well, they must have primitive equipment or something. I said, they must, because it was just like difference in night and day. And if it's lit up, you can see it much better. But it's so, the lighting in those in Tennessee are so dim. But anyway, so praise the Lord, I passed it very easily. I had no problem reading it at all. You know, the one when I read it in Tennessee, it was a lot harder because of the lighting. But anyway, so thank Amen. You, Lord.
Thank you, Father. I remember when I took mine in Tennessee, I couldn't see that fourth line at all. I mean, it was just a blur. And I just blurted out something. I counted how many black places there was, and I said that many letters. And she said, okay, you passed. And back you go. I said, praise God. Of course, I was doing like you. I prayed before, you know.
Yeah.
Amen. That's cool. Good deal. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
All right. Anyone else? We thank you, Lord, that Matt's healed, too, that he doesn't have those symptoms anymore, that the pain is gone, that all the symptoms are gone in Jesus' name. Go ahead, Marla.
Yeah, I'd just like to pray. We had a new lady come to our Bible study on Sunday, and I'd just like to lift her up in prayer. Father, we just lift up Jeannie to you, and we come against any religious spirits that would try and keep her from receiving truth. And we ask that you put a desire in her heart for truth and give her grace to receive truth. And we just thank you for what you're going to do in her, and send your ministering angels to minister to you. And we praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father, for doing that for Janie. In Jesus' name. All right. Thank you, Father. Hey, Tracy.
Hey, brother. God bless you. God bless you guys.
You too. I've got a testimony. When I was driving home on I-40, it's I-40 all the way from me. I live about 7 miles off of I-40 in Lone Oak, Arkansas. And I went through Memphis. I knew that I was going to go through Memphis at the wrong time because, man, you get up there anywhere from 3 o'clock on to 6 o'clock, it's bumper-to-bumper traffic. And I just prayed for him. I said, Lord, I want to get on through that town, get across the river, and get in Arkansas. And, you know, I breezed right through that town without any problems whatsoever. And I believe that's I did that once before. Last time I went home, I did the same thing. And it was fine through Memphis until I hit across the bridge in Arkansas last time. And it was bumper to bumper for about 3 miles. In on the Arkansas side. But this time I just prayed. I said, Lord, I want a clean shot all the way through to where there's no traffic. And I did. I just sailed right on through. It wasn't a bit of problem. Thank you, Father. Well, all right. Anybody else?
Yeah, Michael, we had the same experience when we came down there last at Christmas time. We both times when we went through on the way and when we come home, and it was like you say, it was just really clear.
Amen. I love it when God clears it up for you. Amen. Thank you, Lord. I've learned not to go through Nashville either. I go around on 840. It's about 15 miles further, but you can do the speed limit all the way through Nashville, and you'll end up about 40 miles on the other side of Nashville taking 840. So I didn't have to worry about it. That's always been a blessing, that bypass. All right, anybody else? Praise report, prayer request, testimony. Okay, Tracy, I'm sorry. I just now saw your hand up.
Oh, yeah, right. I just raised it. I didn't know what we were doing when you said testimony. We had a woman come to the Lord in Zoom on Saturday. I just thought that was awesome. So I wanted to give God the glory. It was amazing. Praise God.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah, a lot of times they come for deliverance, and they're not even born again. Isn't that amazing? You know, and it's cool because I always ask them, you know, if I get to talk to them, I always say, if you were to die tonight, where would you go? And when they go, you know, right there, man, you know that you know. And you know, I've had that before, you know, when I wasn't born again. So, you know, I know both sides. So anyways, glory to God. She was born again. And thank you, Jesus. It's amazing.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we just ask and pray, Lord, that you'd open up her eyes and ears to hear the truths of the gospel in Jesus' name, that she wouldn't be caught up in religion. And we thank you, Father, for that. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Tracy. All right, anyone else? I picked up a guy yesterday. He had a can in his hand. His truck was back behind him 200-300 yards, and it was on 40 right before you get to the other side of Nashville. Anyway, I picked him up, and I said, "What's wrong with your truck?" He said, "It got hot on me," and said, "I was trying to make it to the exit." I said, "Well, did you went too far with it?" He said, "I don't know." I said, "Well, are you a Christian?" You know what the answer is, don't you? "Oh, yeah, I'm a Christian." I said, "Are you truly a Christian, or are you just saying you're a Christian?" I went ahead and asked him. He said, "Well, I go to church every now and then." So we had a good discussion. Anyway, praise God. All right, anyone else? Thank you, Lord. I want to praise God, too, because when I brought him back to his truck, I had to cross the median, you know, in my truck and go across. I didn't go to the next exit because it was about 20 miles down the road. I just pulled over across the median. And, of course, I got four-wheel drive. It was no big deal. But, boy, I'm going to tell you something. That traffic was horrendous at that area right there. And I just thank God for getting me through that, because I had people behind me that were just blaring. So anyway, we made it. Praise God. I know y'all ain't never done nothing like that, have you? Cross that median on I-40. Go ahead, Missy.
You know, I just was just remembering about the whole ordeal with getting my license and my tags for my car, my registration and all that. Well, when I went to do my license thing, the guy that was doing my paperwork and stuff for me, he says, I don't remember exactly how things were said or whatever, but basically just it was, I think he asked me, like, why were you in Tennessee, or asked me about being in Tennessee or whatever, and And I told him, I said, because he, you know, he saw that I was gone for, you know, not even quite 2 years or whatever. And I said, well, my husband and I were separated. And I said, it was a good thing. I said, I was with a group of Christians that really, you know, really helped me. I said, if I wouldn't have been there, I would have been divorced. And then, like one thing he says to me, I think it was before that, or I don't remember for sure, but he says, well, let's do a check on you. Make sure you were behaving yourself when you were in Tennessee. I think that was the first thing. And I said, yeah, I was. I said, if I wasn't, God would spank me. And he said, I forget what it was he said, but he said something kind of, you know, it was appropriate or whatever. And I said, he's ultimately the one I answer to, because yeah, you're right. You know? And, but anyway, and then when I went to get my picture taken, you know, cause you go from one person over to this other person and you get your picture taken for your license. There was this black woman we were talking, and she kind of asked me about Tennessee too or whatever. And, you know, I proceeded to tell her, you know, that I was separated for a while and, from my husband. I said something about the Lord or whatever. I can't remember what I said or whatever, but just, I kind of said something similar to what I told the other guy. And she says, yeah, God, put it in God's hands and let him do his thing or something or whatever like that or whatever. And, you know, by what she was saying, I could tell she was a Christian too, you know. And she said that a couple times, you know. And so it was really cool, you know, that I got to talk about that. And then when I was getting my tags for my car and registration and all, the lady at the AAA, they were running this special about to join, to get a membership for AAA, and that it would only cost me $9, you know, bottom line, for my AAA membership and stuff. And Merle was there with me, and I said, well, what do you think? And he says, well, it's up to you what you want to do. Merle had a AAA membership. And I said, no. And she probably thought I was nuts, you know. And I just said, no. I said, I'm not going to need my car to be towed or anything. That would be the only reason I'd want to get it. And I said, and God keeps my car, so I'm not going to need it towed.
You got assurance, not insurance, huh?
Right. You know, but anyway, so it was just, she didn't say anything. She just kept on doing her thing, you know.
Yeah.
But anyway, she probably thought I was a nutcase, but that's all right. I'm nuts for Jesus, so.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
All right, anyone else? Hey, Jackie. Did you want to share that testimony that you sent me tonight?
Oh, that on forgiveness?
Yeah, I thought it was awesome. It's only 3 minutes long.
Oh, well, I don't know how to share on my tablet. I thought you meant for me. When you called on me, I thought, uh-oh, what did I do wrong?
Well, that spirit of condemnation has got to go now. Come on. Well, I think I can do it if you want me to.
My tablet, unless somebody walks me through it, I'm willing to do it.
Well, I may already have it here somewhere.
Yeah,
and Brother Michael?
Yeah. Is this Pam?
It's Pamela, and I've got something for tonight.
Okay.
I mean, I'll take my turn here, but I was having trouble getting unmuted, and when I finally saw I was unmuted, I thought, oh, I'm going to pipe up and tell Brother Michael. So.
Okay. All right. Well, go ahead. We can do this after you get through.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, this was something that Brother David asked me to put on the blog. And so when you were asking for testimonies or news or something like that, I thought, well, if this is good enough for the blog, it's probably good enough for the conference call, you know, to come up to snuff on that, I hope. But so this is some good news here, and I'm going to read it because I typed it up. But this is something that happened to me yesterday and today. So here we go. And I called this Jesus is Coming, Jesus is Coming. My friend Millie, who has always had very good spiritual antennae, called me yesterday. She was puzzled yet excited because she had been hearing a repeated, Jesus is coming, Jesus is coming, in her spirit. Well, Millie and I talk and pray and answer one another's questions all the time. And she said, Pamela, I don't know what to think. It feels like it's soon, but it's not the right time for what I'm hearing. And then I asked her, well, Millie, did you realize that the Greeks had two different words for the concept of Jesus is coming? There's parousia, for when he shows up for his people at the end of the tribulation, but there's also epiphania, for when he shows up in his people. Well, on the other end of the line, she was quiet, listening. So I continued, hey, you don't have the books that contain the teachings on the man-child ministry, do you, Millie? Well, she replied, no. So I continued with my line of thought. I said, I didn't think you knew much about the man-child revelation. Well, like usual, your hearing is right. Jesus is coming, but your thinking needs tweaked a bit. He's coming as that epiphania, that shining forth kind of coming, which will happen in the man-child company. Millie, there are soon going to be many Jesus types walking the earth, doing just as he did. This is what the man-child ministry that Jesus clued us in about in Revelation chapter 12 and in many other places. Millie replied, wow. So that explains why he's been talking to me about catching me up to his throne, doesn't it? And I agreed with her. Yep, it all adds up. Everything's making more sense every day. And that was the end of our conversation that day. But today then, as I was meditating on how Father wanted me to present this on the blog, he put on my heart that he wanted to give me a random word for the occasion. And so here's what happened next. I flipped my Bible several times, inserted the pencil, and with my eyes closed, pressed the pencil lead as I flattened the book to receive the graphite. And when I opened my eyes, I saw that the book, and it was the Hebrew and Greek Key Study Bible, was lying open on pages 1716, in 1717, it was in the lexical aids to the New Testament, and the pencil had landed on white space 3 inches away from number 2015, Epiphania, to appear. So I ended the blog and said, people, get ready to repeat what Father told Millie, Jesus is coming, and soon.
Amen. Praise God. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That is awesome.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty cool. You know, I thought it was pretty cool when Millie was talking to me and we were having our conversation. But then when, you know, then when my pencil landed 3 inches from the word epiphania, I thought, wow. So anyway, God is awesome. Okay, I'll mute again then. All right. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Go ahead, Jackie.
I just want to praise the Lord for Marlene's quick healing of her foot.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father.
Amen. Thank you.
Yeah, praise the Lord. I'm glad you enjoyed that testimony you're going to put up.
Amen. Thank you, Father.
Yeah.
Okay, let me see if I can do this thing.
I'm not sure how to share it.
I'm doing it.
All right.
Can y'all see that?
Yes. There's no volume on mine.
Can anybody hear it?
No.
Nope. No.
Nobody can hear it? Well, what in the world's going on? What am I doing wrong, Tracy?
Hmm.
Let me look here. All right, let me go back. Oh, I know what I got to do. Hang on. Ah. Okay. All right, hang on. Well, give me a minute here. I gotta go find it again.
Did you X hit the spot there?
Yeah.
Whoops. You're in a different room, Michael.
Yeah, I'm in Arkansas.
Oh, you're in Arkansas. Okay.
Yeah.
You're probably not too far from us.
No, not that far. Let's see. I think I gotta do the audio thing. What's the audio?
Check the first box to the left, but not the second one. See it on the bottom? It should say share audio.
Oh. No, I don't see it.
Okay, when you push share screens.
Right.
And then it should be on the bottom left, should be two boxes.
Okay, got it, yeah.
Yeah, check the one all the way to the left, but yeah. Leave the one to the right unchecked. There you go.
Okay, good deal. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
All right, y'all ready? Can y'all see it?
With one of the most potent powers on earth, it can change lives in an instant. Everyone has it. It's the power to forgive. Watch it now in action in Steve Hartman's Assignment America.
Thank you, Lord.
In a small apartment building in North Minneapolis, a 59-year-old teacher's aide sings praise to God for no seemingly apparent reason. Indeed, if anyone was to have issues with the Lord, it would be Mary Johnson.
For all you've done for me. He never had a chance.
In February 1993, Mary's son, Loramian Bird, was shot to death during an argument at a party. He was 20, and Mary's only child.
My son was gone.
The killer was a 16-year-old kid named O'Shea Israel.
I wanted justice. He was an animal. He deserved to be caged.
And he was. Tried as an adult and sentenced to 25 and a half years, O'Shea served 17 before being recently released. He now lives back in the old neighborhood, close to Mary. This. Close.
He lived next door.
Next door.
How a convicted murderer ended up living a door jamb away from his victim's mother is a story not of horrible misfortune, as you might expect, but of remarkable mercy.
A few years ago, Mary asked if she could meet O'Shea here at Minnesota's Stillwater State Prison. As a devout Christian, she felt compelled to see if there was some way, if somehow, she could forgive her son's killer.
What'd she say to you? I believe the first thing she said was, look, you don't know me, I don't know you, let's just start with right now. and I was befuddled myself.
O'Shea says they met regularly after that. When he got out, she introduced him to her landlord, who, with Mary's blessing, invited O'Shea to move into the building. Today, they don't just live close. They are close. Clearly, Mary was able to forgive.
Unforgiveness is like cancer. It will eat you from the inside out. It's not about that other person. Me forgiving him does not diminish what he's done. Yes, he murdered my son. But the forgiveness is for me. It's for me.
For O'Shea, it hasn't been that easy.
I haven't totally forgiven myself yet. I'm learning how to forgive myself. And I'm still growing towards, you know, trying to forgive myself and what it is I've done.
To that end, O'Shea is now busy proving himself to himself. He works at a recycling plant by day and goes to college by night. He says he's determined to pay back Mary's clemency by contributing to society. In fact, he's already working on it, singing the praises of God and forgiveness at prisons, churches, to large audiences everywhere.
Forgiveness is a powerful thing.
Which explains why Mary can sing her praise of thanks to her audience of one. Steve Hartman, CBS News, Minneapolis.
For all you've done for me.
That was awesome.
Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah. You know, how hard was it for her to go to that prison and see that young man that had killed her son? Had to have been God only, you know. I can't imagine the grief that she had borne for losing a child, an only child, I believe, she said. Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Thank you, Lord. That's God's right there, man. That's just strictly God. Thank you,
Lord.
Even
the peace of God on a woman when she's praising him. I mean, she seemed like she's a total peace, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was pretty awesome.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Lord.
Has anybody
ever seen the story behind Matthew West's song, Forgiveness?
I know it.
You know the song?
I said I don't know it, I don't think.
Oh, you need to look it up on YouTube.
What's it called? Forgiveness?
Yes, Matthew West's song, the story behind the song. Oh, my gosh. It's like a couple videos, I think one plays and then probably the other one, a continuation of it. That is an awesome story, too. Somebody told me about that, and I looked it up and I watched it all, and it just brings tears to your eyes. And I told Merle, you got to come watch this. He sat there and he watched it with me. This has been like, I bet, 3-4 years ago or whatever. And I always tell him he's a sap because he is. Anyway, he had tears coming down his cheeks, you know. It's really good. Y'all got to look it up and watch it.
Okay, I will later on. Yeah, awesome. Jackie, can you see the chat there? Can you send Peace With Me a link to that audio? I mean,
sure.
That YouTube?
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you just, I'll tell you what to do. Why don't you, can you post it on the chat? And then everybody can get it. You know how to do
yep.
that?
Yep.
Okay.
Yes, sir, I do. I just lost you for a minute.
Yeah, you froze up.
Did I? I'm bad. All right, I'll post it.
Okay, good. All right. Anyone else? Hey, Missy, since you brought it up, give us a small capsule of what the forgiveness song is about.
Well, it's a similar story.
Ah.
In that it was this woman's daughter was killed by this guy. It was a drunk driving thing. That's all I'll tell you.
Okay. All right. We'll We'll look it up. Maybe we can share it next time.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
Okay. Hey, David. All right. Anyone else? Okay. Last week we talked about the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and discerning of spirits. We got into faith a little bit. Can anyone give me a definition, just a small definition of what the gift of the word of wisdom is? The word of wisdom is a supernatural revelation by the Spirit of God concerning the divine purpose and plan in the mind and will of God. And as we learned, that's really the one you ought to be coveting right there. How many of you want to know the mind and will of God? You know, of course, he's not going to give you everything. He's just going to give you what you can handle at the time. And that is a future thing that could happen or will happen. And the word of knowledge is a supernatural revelation by the Spirit of God concerning certain facts in the mind of God, facts about people, places, or things in the past or in the present now. All right. And then the gift of discerning of spirits is supernatural insight into the spirit world, where there are divine spirits as well as evil spirits. And the discerning of spirits can be manifested to reveal the human spirit, that is, the good or evil tendencies of the human spirits. So they deal with three kinds of classes of spirits: divine, satanic, and human. That's discerning of spirits. Now, we get into gift of faith, and we can discuss that more tonight if you'd like, about what the gift of faith is. And the definition that we gave last week is a gift of the Spirit to the believer in order that he might receive miracles. The working of miracles, which is the next gift we're going to, is a gift of the Spirit given to the believer that he might work miracles. One is receiving, the other one is working. Okay. Now, has anybody got any questions on the gift of faith or any kind of conversation about what faith, what the gift of faith is? It's a gift from God. It's a supernatural gift of God. All right. Anybody want to comment on what that is?
You're talking about the gift of faith?
Yes.
Ah, it's when you use God's faith to do something.
No, it's actually a receiving part of it. It's, I have the gift of faith to believe that I'm going to receive a miracle in my body or something. You know, something like that. It's a receiving type of faith. Just like you receive the natural or the ordinary, I call it ordinary faith, to believe for your salvation. This supernatural gift of faith is also a receiving that you trust God to do this, okay? It's that's kind of what I get from the gift of faith. The faith is a receiving part of it. And the working of miracles is the doing part of it. And also the healing. The working of miracles is just that. It's a working type of a gift that the Lord gives us. And just like healings too, those are doing gifts. Faith is a receiving gift. And we pray for that for people to have when they need certain supernatural thing. You know, if you think about it, you actually need the gift of faith to receive the gift of faith to raise somebody from the dead, because when you get that supernatural gift of faith to raise somebody from the dead, you have to trust that God's going to do that, right? I was thinking about that the other night when I told you about Curry Blake and his little daughter fell down from the second floor. He just had to believe that God was going to do that. That had to have been a gift of faith right there that he had, that God was going to do what he asked him to do. When he was sitting there and telling that baby, you will live and not die in the name of Jesus. And he kept doing that for almost an hour. And as he kept doing it, the gift of faith became a manifestation. It took away, I mean, it took over where the ordinary faith had left off. And that supernatural gift of faith came in, and that's when his daughter coughed and came alive, and she's now in the ministry with him. So that's one instance of it. Can somebody else give me an instance of supernatural faith out of the Bible? Come on now, Frank. Come on, Missy. Give me one. Go ahead, Jackie. You be the first one.
I'll jump in. How about the woman with the issue of blood?
Okay, yeah. She knew. I mean, tell me about it.
Without a doubt, if she could just touch the hem of his garment, she was going to be healed no matter what. And she pressed through, and Jesus is like, you touched me. Because he felt the power out of him. So, would that
Amen.
Be one?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And there's another one, too. Remember? What happened? Go ahead, Missy. I won't tell anymore. I'll just let y'all do it. Go ahead, Missy.
The centurion. He wasn't even a Jew, but he believed that his servant was going to be healed without the Lord even going there.
Amen. That was faith, wasn't it? Supernatural gift of faith. All right. Anybody else? What about the Old Testament? Boy, there's a bunch of them in the Old Testament. What about Daniel? Been thrown in the lion's den, then laid down over and went to sleep down there around them lions. Was that supernatural faith? I believe it was. Lord, I believe that when I go down in that den, I just trust you, Lord. I know I ain't got to worry about nothing. I'm going down there. Go ahead, David.
I think Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had a lot of faith getting thrown in that furnace.
Walked right on up in that thing, didn't they? Like they knew what they was doing.
Think they bind them up and throw them in there?
Yeah, but what happened when they did? Them boys got that burnt up, didn't they? The boys that throwed them in there got burnt up, but Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they sauntered right on in there like they knew what they was doing. Walking around with Jesus. Amen. That's a good one. What about Elijah? Sitting out there, thought he was the only one left, didn't he? But the Lord fed him. How'd he feed him? Y'all remember how the Lord fed him? Go ahead, Andrew.
The ravens.
Amen.
The ravens.
Yeah, I had supernatural faith to believe that that raven... When the Lord told him that, the Lord gave him the faith to believe that, didn't he? Amen.
Yeah. I think David had some faith when he was going after Goliath with his sling.
That boy had supernatural faith, didn't he?
Yeah.
Amen. I believe that. Go ahead, Matt.
What about Peter when he brought Tabitha back from the dead?
Amen. Yeah.
He had to put everybody out. That means he didn't want any unbelief. And he kneeled and he prayed. So I bet he prayed for that faith.
Say amen.
From the dead.
That's right. That's right. That, you know, all of these instances that we have talked about, they are the gift of faith along with the working of miracles and the healings, the working of healings. Is that the workings of healing or the gift of healing? I think that's the gift of healing. No. All right, any more? That's the gifts of healing. That working of miracles is active, right? It actively works a miracle. The gift of faith doesn't work a miracle, but passively receives that miracle. You don't have to do anything, just believe, right?
I just watched a raven help itself to a little bird. These ravens are really big. So I would think it'd be rather supernatural for a raven to give up anything to some human.
Well, absolutely, yeah. I don't know what they brought him. It might have been bologna sandwich or something. I don't know. What's the matter, Missy?
Hey, Michael.
Yeah.
Are you saying that the gift of faith and the working of miracles go hand in hand?
Yes, I do. When you let's say that God gives you that supernatural faith to believe that somebody can be raised from the dead. Well, whatever happened to them, you know, their body is what? Deteriorating. From the moment they die, their body's deteriorating. And so the gift of miracles has to be in operation, and the gift of healing has to be in operation after they come to life because they died for something, you know. So all three of them in raising from the dead would be an operation, I believe. Can y'all see that?
Amen.
Most of the time, yeah, go ahead, Tracy.
Well, I was just going to say Joshua and Caleb taking back the promised land when everybody else had an evil report. Now that's faith for me, you know. Everybody else had an evil report, you know, and they're like, nope, my God said it. I'm standing on it. I don't care what you guys saw or say.
Amen. That's a good one. Yes, it is.
What about Abraham and Isaac?
That's another one. He had supernatural faith that God wasn't going to let his son die, but if he did die, he's going to bring him back to life, one to another, wasn't it? Praise God. Yeah, that's a good one, Marlene. All right, anybody else? Go ahead, Tracy. Oh, I just didn't lower your hand, I see. Okay. All right, the gift of faith. The gift of faith, the working of miracles is more an act, whereas the gift of faith is more of a process. In other words, the working of miracles would perform a miracle, but the gift of faith would receive that miracle. That's the difference.
Hello?
Hey, go ahead.
Oh, hi. I'm in Fort Lauderdale, and I have a dear friend who has multiple sclerosis. And my daughter, who's studying to be a nurse, said, Mom, no one's ever been healed of multiple sclerosis. So just to challenge her, because the Lord had raised her older sister from the dead, and I guess she forgot that, but she was much younger. She was a baby, so she wouldn't have remembered the whole thing. But I said, yes, I bet you there are. So I just did a search. I just put in a search and said, miracle healing of multiple sclerosis. And up came Gertrude's testimony. So she starts arguing with me because once you're in the medical field, they tend to not really believe in miracles. I don't know why that whole industry is like that. So I worked for Dr. Kennedy in Christian Radio, and we had interviewed, now I forget his last name, but he was the fella that was, that wrote 90 Minutes in Heaven. Well, for us to even put him on air, we had to speak with all the first responders. We had to interview the pastor that laid hands on him and brought him back to life through, obviously, the power of the Holy Spirit. And then we had to speak with the doctors that received him in the emergency room. He was a mangled mess. So I was citing all these things, and she's like, well, no one's ever been healed of multiple sclerosis. I go, well, look at this testimony. I read the whole testimony. So she's like, well, I don't know about that. I want to talk to the actual medical staff that saw Gertrude getting healed. So is it possible for us to do that? Is there a way for us to talk with them? So that these, I said, I kept calling her Thomas. She was getting mad. But it was annoying me that she would be so ridiculous. I mean, man, I think they brainwash them in medical schools or something.
Well, they do. They have a hard time believing that God will heal. And a lot of them believe that even if God heals, that they use them to do it. And
yeah,
that's a fallacy of that particular type of religious thinking. You can try all of that, but the best thing to do is to pray that God would open up her eyes to see the truth.
Yeah, I agree. I've been doing that, but I would love to show her specifically, have staff speak to her that saw Gertrude's process and how from one day to the next she's instantaneously healed. This happened in West Palm Beach, Florida. I see a story on the Fox affiliate here in Fort Lauderdale, and it's this guy comes in full cardiac arrest to the West Palm Beach cardiac unit, and it just happens that the doctor that received him that day is a born-again Christian. His name is Chauncey Crandall. So the guy, they work on him with the paddles, with everything. They work on him for a good hour. Guy dies. He's dead on the gurney for 3 hours. Chauncey goes back into his office, or he was in his office, and the Holy Spirit says to him, go back in there, lay hands on that man, and command his spirit to go back in his body. So he does that, and the guy comes back to life. Well, I was shocked that this secular news station would even do this story. So I called the news director. I said, where can I get a copy of that report with Chauncey Crandall and the guy that came back to life that Louis Aguirre did? And they say, well, here's the number to our archives. So I got a copy of the report, and I made DVD copies for everybody and anybody, and we aired it in our Sunday school. So the nurses from our Sunday school went up to West Palm Beach and talked personally with Chauncey about this. So I kind of wanted to do the same thing. And by the way, the other guy, the 90 Minutes in Heaven author, his name's Don Piper. And just like we interviewed the first responders and the medical staff in the Don Piper case, and also in our nurses went over and spoke with Chauncey, I would love to do that with Gertrude. We had it. That has she been on radio at all?
I don't guess I know what of that particular instance there. Somebody else might. I don't know.
You don't know about Gertrude and multiple sclerosis?
No, I don't. But I can tell you a few of that I have seen healed completely of MS.
Well, Deb Author, we went to debauthor.com.
Okay.
Isn't that your site?
No.
Oh, no. No, this is, we're from Unleavened Bread Ministries.
Oh, man. So, yeah, this lady, Gertrude Tyser, and this, she got healed completely of multiple sclerosis. And this woman named Deb Author, debauthor.com, that's how we found you. Yeah, Gertrude Tyser is on your Unleavened Bread site.
Well, it might be. There's we got pages and pages and pages on that site. There's also probably more than just that one there about MS. Or I know that there's a few on people being raised from the dead. There's all kinds of healing. I don't know them all of them. You know, I hadn't looked at all of them myself.
I know. Oh, could you pray, please, for Ginny Davis? She has multiple sclerosis. And
Ginny.
For my daughter, Hannah, that God will heal her unbelief.
Amen. Okay. Jimmy Davis has MS. Is he a believer?
Yes. thing, and she's such a lovely lady, so sweet, great Christian. We love her, and she's just deteriorating. Her husband's a doctor. See what I mean? They just don't, I don't get it. And he's a really devout believer, but I think once the they get into the medical field, they get a real, like this weird thinking.
Yeah. Yeah, because science kicks in a lot when they see sickness, disease, and pain and stuff like that. It's hard for them. It really is. It's hard. So we just have to pray for them and pray that God would. Now, this Jimmy Davis, is she she's a believer, right?
Oh, yes. She and her husband, both devout Christians, good, decent people, and really love Christ. He was an elder in our church, and she's a deaconess. And then she had to, she's really deteriorating. She's in her 50s. I feel so bad. I was just with her today.
Yeah. Okay.
And that's why this whole conversation came up, because my daughter was working for Dr. Davis, and she's seen how she's been deteriorating. She invited us to lunch, and we spent the afternoon with her, and I could see she's getting more and more incapacitated. And Hannah said, I wish God would heal her. I said, well, he can. She goes, well, Mom, no, but that's when the whole conversation started. And she said, nobody's been healed of multiple sclerosis. I go, I beg to differ. And that's when they did that simple search and found this testimony. And that link sent us to your site.
Okay. Well, see, I don't know all the pages. It's a big site, so you'll have to forgive me on that one.
Man, and when my little daughter was about to turn 2, she fell in my mother's pool, and my older daughter came and got me, and she was already black at the bottom of the pool, and I cried out to Christ. I said, Jesus, save my little girl like this. I was so, what a horrible sight that will never leave a mother's mind. So I jumped in the pool, and I pulled her out, and I ran in to call 911, and I heard in my spirit, Talitha Kumi, and she breathed. So I still called 911, and I still had the rescue people come and get her. And so later on, after everything, she was checked out, they did all the scans, she was fine. I went back to my Christian college because I had a professor who was a Greek and Aramaic and Hebrew scholar, and I said, Dr. Cohen, he was a born-again Jew, and I said, Dr. Cohen, I had this happen with my daughter, and in my spirit, I heard Talitha Kumi, and I said, and I don't even know that you know what that means, but I felt on a hunch that I should call you and ask you, and he said, oh, sure, that's our Lord's language. That's an ancient Hebrew dialect, and it means rise up, little girl. So that was Jesus telling me in Aramaic. So I would know that that was him who did this.
Amen. Praise God.
And then fast forward, she was turning 16, so she had a little sleepover. And I said to the girls, I go, come on, I'm taking you out to breakfast. So we go to this local bagel place, and out of all the people on the planet, Dr. Cohen walks in. I mean, I hadn't seen him in years. And he walks in, and I go, Dr. Cohen, I go, do you live around here? He goes, yeah, I live around here, but I don't always come here. And I said, remember the Talitha Kumi story? He goes, oh, yeah, I'll never forget that. I go, well, that's my daughter right there. She's turning 16 today. Isn't that crazy?
Well,
how does God do that?
is that the same daughter that doesn't believe that God heals?
No. Oh, no, okay. That's her older sister.
Okay.
But Nicole was going to turn 2. When she nearly, or she did drown, actually. And then Hannah is my third daughter, and she wasn't even born yet when that happened to Nicole.
Well,
but she's heard the story her whole life, so I don't get it.
Well, that's in competition with the doctor, so you got to understand.
Golly.
God's healing miracle doesn't cost anything, you know. But
goodness.
Well, I'm just saying, you know.
Yeah, that's crazy. But yeah, I'd appreciate your prayers because.
Okay, let's pray for Jimmy. Lord, we lift up Jimmy Davis to you, Lord. You know the situation there. I ask, Father, that you take the blinders off of her and her husband, to believe you, to trust you, Lord, because you said in your word in Mark 11:24, when you pray, believe what you pray, you shall have it. I mean, that's just pretty plain. Then in John 14:14, when you say, if you pray, if you ask anything in my name, I'll give it to you. And Lord, that's what we're doing. Then you said in 1 Peter 2:24 that by his stripes we were healed. That's past tense. And Father, we just thank you for putting these scriptures in the minds of these people who don't believe and asking them, do you believe what the Word of God says? And Father, we thank you for that. We thank you for opening up their minds, Lord, and their eyes to see. Now, in the name of Jesus, right now, we come against that spirit of MS that's on Jimmy Davis. We command you to go from her right now in Jesus' name. And we thank
Lord.
You, Father, that that spirit has gone. And we ask and we pray, Lord, that your healing power go all the way through her body to heal her of all that the enemy has taken away from her. Right now, in Jesus' name, we thank you, Father, that every cell in her body is healed in the name of Jesus. And we praise you, Father, that Jimmy Davis is here and she'll be able to testify to the glory and goodness of God, because medical could not heal her. Only God could heal her. And that would be a testimony to her husband and to Hannah. And to anybody else that doesn't believe, and we praise you, Father, for that in Jesus' name, that this woman, Jimmy Davis, would go about telling the whole world
of
your
Lord.
Grace and your mercy upon her, Father, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Lord, I believe, and I bet everybody in here believes too. Amen. You believe that?
I believe it. I've been crying out for that. Yeah, I believe that she will. I mean, God's done some really unusual things that I won't take up your time right now and share, but... so freaky. I got to believe that God's on to her.
Amen. What is your name?
Man, it's so crazy. But listen, this is great what you're doing. What do? You meet every, you have a conference call every couple days of the week? Or
Tuesdays and Thursdays.
And you pray for people for healing or what?
We pray for people. We talk. We give praise reports. We give testimonies. We also learn people will give things that they want to talk about, ideas, and that's what we'll talk about the next time. And it's just been really great here recently, couple of months.
Amazing. I'm glad we stumbled upon you.
Yeah. What is your name?
Yuri. U-R-I. Yuri.
Yuri? Okay, Yuri.
Yes. Oh, my husband, Mike, he's a born-again Jew, and he loves Messiah. And he has vitiligo. Could you pray for him?
He has what?
Vitiligo. It's when, you know how the skin discolors? Like Michael Jackson had that.
Okay.
And the pigment on the skin gets like white. And it's not even with the rest of the color.
Okay. Yeah.
It's an autoimmune system issue.
Okay. All right. Well,
his name is Mike.
Yeah. What's that, David?
I was asking if she's calling on a phone or what.
Yes. Yeah, we're on a landline.
Cool. We'll just keep her hand on the phone, because that's how we're going to work through you, right on the phone.
Thank you, sir.
Amen. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you that we can come to you as believers, Lord. We believe and we trust that when we pray that things happen. And we've prayed, Lord. We know and we trust you to perform those things that we pray for. In the name of Jesus right now, I command this disease off of Mike right now in Jesus' name. And I command it to go from him. I command reversing of everything that the enemy has taken from Mike in Jesus' name. I thank you, Father, that his skin is going to be perfect.
Amen.
Everything inside his body that has been affected is restored as new.
Yes.
And I praise you, Father, that Mike is completely healed. And I praise you for it. Now, from this point on, what we do now, we don't pray for it again. We just thank and praise God that it's already done. It don't make any difference what your eyes are looking at. Don't make any difference what you're hearing. We know, because we prayed the prayer of faith. And we're going to endure in our faith to see it done in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father. Amen. Mike,
amen.
You believe that?
Amen. Amen. Yes, I do.
Yeah, everybody on here does too. So, brother, you got a lot of people that are standing in faith with you in the name of Jesus.
How many people usually are on your call?
Oh, it just depends. Various amounts. We get anywhere from 15 to 25, 30. You know, it just depends.
Excellent. Well, that's fantastic. I keep calling you guys, if that's all right.
Oh, you can stay with us. We'll be on here another hour.
Yeah, we're staying on. Thank you.
That's cool.
Yeah, we stay on 2 hours. We start at 8 o'clock in Eastern time, and we generally get through about 10 o'clock Eastern time.
Wow. Where are you guys?
All over.
We're in Fort Lauderdale.
Yeah, well, we're up in East Tennessee. UBM Local Fellowship is up in Tennessee, but all these people that you're hearing on here, anywhere from South Africa to Canada to Missouri, all over. I don't know where everybody's from. Nebraska, Louisiana, Texas. Malcolm, you're up there somewhere up north. I forget. Idaho or Iowa or
Washington.
Washington, yeah, one of them places, one of them foreign countries up there.
Yeah, you pronounce Washington. Washington,
okay. Willie's up there. You're in New York, New Jersey.
This must be this.
And, you know, just all over, just all over. Hey,
well, this is fun.
What's that?
It's fantastic.
Yeah.
You mentioned Joe and Nora from Africa?
Well,
they're from South Africa, yeah. Hey, Joe.
That's my...
Hey, Joe.
Hello, Michael.
There you are.
Hey.
All right. Joe and Nora live in South Africa, and they've been with us from the start, I guess. Been with us a long time. They have to get up at 2 o'clock in the morning to listen to us and to participate. So.
Wow.
That's an awesome. They do a lot of work for UBM as well. Okay. Anybody, anything else, Yuri or Mike, that y'all would like to talk about?
Well, we don't want to usurp the other caller's time, so we'll just hang back, and if it gets quiet, we may interject something. Thank you so much.
Okay. That'd be fine. Praise God. What we're talking about now, we have been for the last two or three meetings, is the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and we've been going through each one of them. we're going through the power gifts now, the gift of faith, and the workings of miracles, and the gift of healing. And actually, all three of those gifts work in conjunction with one another most of the time, a lot of the times. As we said before, the gift of faith is a receiving gift. The Lord gives you the gift of faith, supernatural gift of faith, to believe whatever it is that you're praying for is gonna work. And then, of course, the working of miracles is an active type of gift that given to the believer that he might work miracles. And a miracle, of course, is anything that wouldn't happen normally in the natural. That's what a miracle is. It's just something that wouldn't happen in the natural. A miracle, for instance, one time we saw, most of you have heard this, some of you haven't, but the gift of miracle is when, like a baby we prayed for one time had a hole in its heart, a newborn baby had a hole in its heart. God replaced the heart. That was a miracle. Another one was when this little four-year-old boy had club feet. The Lord straightened them out supernaturally. The working of miracles. And, of course, a supernatural gift of faith for us to believe that God would do that. And straightened them out. And that was one. And then another was a 13-year-old girl that was deaf. Couldn't hear a thing. out of one ear and barely could hear out of the other one. God supernaturally gave her a new eardrum, or she could hear. Another one was a lady that I knew that a guy had prayed for her, actually her husband, and he wasn't her husband at the time. He prayed for her healing in her, I believe it was her left ear, that she could hear. He didn't pray for restoration of the ear and all the things in it. He just prayed that she could hear. She could hear out of that ear, didn't have any of the inner ear workings in there, and she's still doing it today. And then there's another guy that I had read about that had a glass eye. Didn't have an eye socket, didn't have an eyeball in his socket. He had a glass eye in there, but he could see out of that eye. They could put his hand over his good eye, and he could sit there and read whatever you put in front of him and see whatever you put in front of him. He could take his glass eye out and see out of that socket. Now that's that's a miracle. That's an awesome miracle. But yeah, God can do anything. You know,
Michael.
Yes, sir.
We actually know a bishop from Oklahoma. He's a Chickasaw Indian pastor who was present when that gentleman was able to see through the glass eye. He actually put hands on him as well.
Empty socket. Didn't even have the eye.
He had no eye?
No, he didn't have an eyeball in his eye at all.
That's right. And our friend, our Bishop Courtney is his name, and he knows that guy. They're friends.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, and that's what I say. Well, that's what we've always been saying. Don't put God in a box. He can fix water leaks. He can fix your car. He can put gas in your car. Just you figure it out what you need. God's going to supply it if you believe. And that's the gift of faith. Like I said before, the gift of faith takes over when your ordinary faith leaves off. And that's why the Lord tells us to covet those, the more important gifts. Well, the one that's important to you is the one that's most important, right? If you need a great healing, then covet that. And when you covet it, guess what? It's coming.
Michael, do you guys ever pray that we would receive the gift of healing, that God would anoint us that way?
You can, absolutely. He said, if you pray, if you ask anything in my name, you shall receive it.
I've been asking him for like about 4 or 5 years. I do walk in miracles. I've really witnessed some extraordinary things, and I have word of knowledge, and that's amazing in itself. And the stuff God does is I just get blown away myself. So I kept saying, Lord, just give me the ability to just be able to lay hands on someone and let them be healed. I really want that gift.
Amen. But he said to covet it. So in covet it, you go after it, you know. But I think what God wants us to do more than anything is, Lord, let your gifts be available to us as needed. When you need the gift of healing, you need the gift of healing. But when you need the gift of miracles, you need the gift of miracle. Or when you need the gift of faith, you need the gift of faith. You need the gift of wisdom. That's what you need. So yeah, absolutely. We'd all love to work in miracles and gifts and faith and all of that. But the other ones are just as important.
Yes.
Just as important. Depending on, you know, your ministry, what happens at the time, you know.
Yeah.
Amen.
Powerful.
Go ahead, Willie.
I can definitely testify to that. Sister in the Lord called me last night. And, you know, the first thing I started thinking was, man, what am I going to do for this person? And you start putting all the weight of faith on you, and, you know, you start putting all the weight on what you're going to say to the person. And you start throwing all this weight on your shoulders. And you're like, God, how can I help this person? And, you know, the Lord just told me to, you know, shut up. She said, you know, just shut up. It wasn't like a mean shut up. It was just like, it was like she didn't come here. She didn't call you for you. She called you for me. And I had to sit back. And, you know, because I started throwing all the weight on my shoulder. But what she needed had to come from the Lord. And just like baptism, you know, she just called me. You know, I guess you would say as a point of contact. I'm trying to put it the right way. I guess she was just, you know, working from where she was at. Because we can pray for ourselves and you know, if you got the faith, it'll happen. You can pray for, you know, pray with others, and if they have the faith, it'll happen. You know, he says iron sharpens iron. You know, but, you know, the Lord is the author and finisher of our faith. I like the way Moses put it, and this is the best way I could put it. When he told, you know, the people to stand aside. And a lot of times when you're praying for people, you got to stand aside. And you got to let the author and finisher of our faith be the author and finisher of our faith. And you, all that weight suddenly started coming off of me. And immediately the Holy Spirit showed up. And I was like, oh, wow, the Holy Spirit just showed up. And so I could definitely testify that God really works miracles and actions of faith at the time that it's needed. But the biggest mistake that we can fall into is, you know, God, this world really needs miracles. God, this world really needs this, or they can use this or that. And, you know, how much more will God do if you stand aside? Look at what Moses did. He stood to the side, or he just did exactly what the Lord told him to do. Jesus did the same thing. I did that. I do that which is, you know, I do that which is always well-pleasing unto my Father. And he said, you know, the works which I do, which I see my Father do, I do. The words which I hear my Father say, I do. They are not mine, you know, but the Father who sent me. And then on top of that, you get, you know, he would not allow any of the apostles to go out there and do anything in the gospel. He said, you know, stay in Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. Then shall you be my witnesses. I just want to add that in there because, you know, the Lord really helped me out, you know, that night. Because I was just like, what am I going to do? I didn't even know what to say. I was throwing everything on my shoulders like I had to stand in God's stead, and it wasn't that way. It was more or less, you know.
Told you to shut up, did he?
Yeah, it was.
Awesome.
You know, God's like, look, I took you and I put you in the garden. The fruit is already there. The fruit is already there. What you planted apple seeds for?
Awesome. Awesome. Thank you, Father.
Hey, Michael.
Yes, sir.
This thought sort of came to me through the teachings through David and everything over the years that we're supposed to desire all of those gifts, but it's the Holy Spirit that gives them as he will. And I think we're just supposed to be sold out to the Lord completely. And as the Holy Spirit decides, he'll, you know, he'll give us whatever the gift is that's necessary at the time.
Amen. Well, you know, it says to covet the greater gifts. And of course, like we said before, the greater gift, of course, is the one you need at the time. So, praise God. Yeah, that's right. Thank you, Kurt, for that, because it is by the will of the Holy Spirit that these gifts are in operation. Hey, Debbie and Denny, I see y'all made it back home. All right, praise God. Thank you, Lord, for a safe trip. Amen. All right, anybody else? Most of these power gifts, as we said before, they work together. They work in conjunction with one another. I want to read a little story here about Smith Wigglesworth that I found. It says, Smith Wigglesworth said that if you will take a step of ordinary faith, when you come to the end of that faith, very often this supernatural gift of special faith will take over. one reason more folks don't see the manifestation of special faith operating in their lives is that they don't first use what faith they already have. And that's so true. Under Wigglesworth ministry, at least 3 different people were raised from the dead, and there were probably many more. One instance of a person who was raised from the dead was a man named Mr. Mitchell, whom Wigglesworth personally knew. One day, when coming home from an open-air meeting, Wigglesworth learned that his wife, Polly, was at Mr. Mitchell's house. The day before, when Wigglesworth had visited Mitchell, the sick man had been close to death. As Wigglesworth hurried to Mitchell's house, he heard screaming coming from the house. On the way into Mr. Mitchell's room, he passed Mrs. Mitchell, who was crying, "He's gone, he's gone." Wigglesworth related his experience. He said, "I just passed Mrs. Mitchell and went into the room, and immediately I saw that Mitchell had gone. I could not understand it, but I began to pray. My wife was always afraid that I would go too far, and she laid hold of me and said, 'Don't, Dad. Don't you see that he is dead?' But I continued praying. I got as far as I could with my own faith, and then God laid hold of me. Oh, it was such a laying hold that I could believe for anything. The faith of the Lord Jesus laid hold of me, and a solid peace came into my heart. I shouted, 'He lives, he lives, he lives!' And he's living today because of it." Praise God. Receiving the dead raised back to life again is beyond anybody's ordinary faith. In our ordinary faith, we could try what Wigglesworth did. We could pull off someone off of a deathbed, stand him up, and tell him to walk, but that don't mean he will. Why? Because it takes a supernatural manifestation of God's power to receive a miracle such as this. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. I'll tell you of another instance that we saw someone raised from the dead. It was over the telephone. It was the neatest thing. We have a prayer meeting up here on the mountain every morning. And one morning, this has been about 3 or 4 years ago, best I recall, and we got a phone call. And this lady was having trouble with her husband. He was just falling out or something. I don't remember all the circumstances, but she wanted us to pray for him. And then he died while we were there, and we started praying in the spirit for him. And that man was raised from the dead. After that, she called later and said, told us what had happened, you know, that after we had prayed, he started breathing again. And that happened. Another instance was a lady, one of our members, had died, and her husband had called us. And David and I rushed over there, and she was gone. And the paramedics were there, and they said, "She's gone," you know, and they tried to bring her back, and she wouldn't. So they took her out and put her in the ambulance. They was going to rush her to the hospital. But they just gave up. We started praying. She started breathing in that ambulance. So she came back to life in that ambulance. Praise God. So that was another instance. And this, you know, God can give you that faith to believe, can't he? For anything. If you just ask him. Covenant him. All right, anybody else?
I'll tell you what. Pat, oh, go ahead.
No, you go ahead. Go ahead.
I was just going to say something quick. I'm just going by what the word says. I'm just going by this. Mark 16:15-19, it says, "Go into all the world, proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those that believe. In my name they'll cast out demons, they'll speak in new tongues, to pick up serpents with their hands, and if anything, they drink anything deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover." So I've just been just going by that. Just believing in God that that's what he wants. So just lay hands on him. I don't necessarily have to feel like I'm getting any special faith. I'm just going to be obedient to the word and trust God to work out the details. And I just ask him what it is they need. And we just work on that, pray on it, cast it, and I leave it at that. That's what I've been doing. That's how I'm going to operate, unless I'm getting something different. But
well, so that's fine. That's good. That's where he wants us to act. As a matter of fact, it's by our own, and I say ordinary faith, and actually it's a supernatural faith. But the gift of faith is when our faith cuts off, and we've gone as far as we can go, and we just still don't see anything for the emergency at the moment. And then that supernatural gift of faith kicks in, just like Wigglesworth there. He felt that. I've felt that myself at times too, praying for people when that gift of faith comes upon you. All right. Yeah, that's good. That's the way he wants us to do too, David, is to just ordinarily just believe. Just believe what you...
You just step out and do what the word says.
Amen.
Do it.
And then just believe that the Lord is going to use and work the miracle in you, right?
That's absolutely what he's talking about. It's not you that's ever going to work the miracle out. It's just God's going to work through you.
Absolutely.
You're just that vessel he can work through.
Amen. You know, all of these gifts that we're talking about are supernatural gifts. They act in the natural realm, but they do supernatural things, right? When the working of miracles is in manifestation, there is a divine intervention in the ordinary course of nature. For example, the dividing of a stream by the sweep of a mantle is an example of the working of miracles in 2 Kings 2 and 4. After Elijah ascended to heaven in a chariot in the whirlwind, Elisha received his mantle and smote the Jordan River, dividing the waters by a sweep of his mantle. And that was a working of miracles. When Aaron raised his rod at the Red Sea, that was a working of miracles. Boy, that was supernatural faith too, wasn't it? That had to have been supernatural faith. A lot of instances in there, in the Word of God of working of miracles. Anybody else think of a working of miracles in the Word?
Hey, Michael.
Yeah.
I'm not responding to your question that you just are asking. I just wanted to mention that I saw the kind of a fun video. If you like to watch miracles happening, it was a short little security. It was just a clip from a security video. I think it was footage down in Brazil. Somebody walks into he's got crutches, and he doesn't have one shoe on because he's just holding it up in the air, and he swings. He's just coming into the, I think it's a gas station, the convenience store in Brazil, and he comes up to the counter, and then the guy, behind the counter, you can't hear anything except, I don't know, a lot of these security videos from South America, obviously somebody's holding the camera because it's jiggling around, and you can hear their comments in the security room. I think they must have mirrored glass or something. But anyway, so this guy, you see this guy, the guy running the store there, he kneels down and touches the guy's leg, and he's kneeling down there for a bit, and then the next thing you see is the guy's just standing there like a normal person with holding onto his crutches at the side, and then the next clip is he's just walking out with his crutches over his shoulder, and then you watch him. What's really inconvenient for the poor guy is that he's barefoot on that one foot. So he's walking barefoot on the dirty ground, you know, and I guess there's a price to pay.
Amen. what's another working of miracles? What about that first miracle that Jesus did? Anybody remember that?
With the wine and water?
Yeah, that was a working of miracles.
I'm sure it was unfermented.
No, it wasn't either.
Sorry. I've been brainwashed too many years.
Yeah. You've been in some of them churches I've been in. Yeah. That's grape juice, huh? No, that was wine.
Unfermented, yes, indeed. I says there, right there.
Yeah.
Forgive me.
No. Okay, yeah, you're forgiven. What about Jesus feeding the 5,000? That was a miracle. How you gonna feed 5,000 people with 2 loaves of bread and a fish? All right, I have it backwards. Anyway,
Brother Michael.
Yeah.
I thought of another miracle.
Okay.
I mean, it's a really little tiny one in the Old Testament, but I don't know why, but I just thought of it when you were asking. What about when that axe head floated?
That's another good one. And how many of you know axe heads don't float normally?
Amen. Okay, I'm muting again.
Okay. That's a good one. Go ahead, Jackie.
How about in John where Jesus heals the man that was born blind when he spit in the mud and put the paste on his eye?
Amen. How many of you know that mud always heals eyes, blind eyes, right? No. That was a supernatural miracle.
A brother told me once about that. He mm-hmm. said, think about it. It's the word of God that was coming out of his mouth when he made a spit, you know, to think of it spiritually, because it was the word of God, like not the mud or the spit, but it came from his mouth, and that's where the healing came from. And I thought that was pretty cool to look at it that way.
Amen. And what does that mud represent? That mud represents the flesh, don't it? He washed away the flesh and he could see spiritually. There's another little spiritual. Go ahead, Tracy. I'm sorry. I'm seeing these raised hands. Go ahead, Tracy.
Hey, brother. My son was at Scouts. So I don't know. Did anybody mention the axe head floating?
As a matter of fact, Pamela just did a while ago. Oh, yeah. That's a good
okay.
one. That's a good
what about,
one.
What about the 10 plagues of Egypt?
The what?
The 10 plagues of Egypt with Moses.
Uh-uh.
Nobody mentioned that?
Not yet.
Well,
go
that's
ahead.
The biggest one.
Okay.
Well, there you go.
There you go.
Well, I thought surely somebody had mentioned that one. But, yeah, Moses.
Yeah, now you have. Praise God. Yep, that was a good one. All right.
Michael.
Yeah, go ahead. Is that Wade? Yeah, go ahead,
Syrophoenician woman. The Syrophoenician woman said, yeah, but the dogs eat up the crumbs that fall from the table. Had a daughter that was sick.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus said it's not proper for the dogs to eat the children's bread or something like that. I don't know the exact quote. But and she said, Yes, Lord, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from under the table from off the table. And God said your faith, you know, told her faith had made her whole. Or
Amen.
That he had healed her daughter.
Well, okay, so she had faith, didn't she? She
yes.
knew. She knew that if Jesus wanted to, he could. Praise God. Yeah, that's another one. Any more? There's a few in Acts on there.
I like the one where Jesus calmed the storm and freaked the disciples out. They said, "What manner of man is this that even the winds obey him?"
That's a good one.
Amen.
But
that was peace be still.
He spoke to it, created a miracle right there. Now, that's two of them in operation there, if you think about it, because he had the gift of faith to believe that it didn't make any difference what was going on outside, God was going to keep him. And then, of course, the disciples, they got all excited about all that wind and stuff. And Jesus was down there sleeping. Come on now. You know, he was sleeping. He knew. He had supernatural gift of faith to believe God was going to trust in God to keep him. And that's why he told him. He said, man, you guys ain't got no faith yet. And he just spoke it out. Peace be still. And what happened? A gift of miracles was in operation. Praise God. So he had two of them working there. That's good. All right, anybody else?
Yeah, Michael, how about at Mount Carmel with the 400 prophets and all their stuff burned up from the water and everything?
Amen. That was that's two of them in operation there, too. Yeah. Supernatural gift of faith was in operation, and also the gift of miracles. Praise God. Yeah. Anybody else? I was a good one. I always loved that story. I love that story. I liked it when he was sitting back there taunting them. What's the matter with y'all's God? Is he not home? You know, he down there at McDonald's eating a burger or something. You know, I don't know what they was telling him, but y'all need to cry a little bit louder, yell a little bit louder. All right, anybody else?
You're talking about Elijah, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, didn't he say he was indisposed, so to speak?
Yeah, that's what I'm talking
about.
Where's
Paul at?
Where's that God of y'all's at? He's out to lunch today, isn't he?
Yeah, lunch.
Praise God. All right, anybody else? There's more. There's a bunch of them in there. Jumping over to Acts again. What about Ananias and Sapphira? That took a supernatural miracle right there to speak judgment. That's used as that too, you know. Remember when it was Elijah that was sitting up on the mountain, wasn't it? And they sent 50 guy soldiers up there to get him. What was that, Elijah or Elisha? Come on, you theological scholars, come on. Help me out here. Anyway, he spoke fire from heaven. That was supernatural working of miracles. Also, gift of faith was in operation too. And getting back to Ananias and Sapphira, because of that, when Peter spoke that supernatural working of miracles was in operation at that time too, because you know they were healthy people, and then they lied to the Holy Spirit, and they just dropped dead. Anybody else?
I think it's important to recognize just how much the Lord loves us and who he puts around our stay that we don't see. Kind of like how people saw in The Matrix, right? Where one Elijah.
Yeah. Go ahead, Marlon.
Was sleeping, you know, what's up?
Here, let me mute Marlon. Okay, go ahead.
Oh, I'm just saying the whole hillside was filled up with flaming, you know, and when you do it earlier on, you know, Jesus said, I bear no record of myself. You know, I don't do anything that the Father doesn't tell me to do. The devil's always going to come up to you and say, hurry up and do it. Because our carnal nature wants to say, what do you want me to do, Lord? What can I do? Right? We tend to forget to say, Lord, your will be done. You know, I am yours. Direct me. You know, we always go there first, and the first thought we have is, what can I do? And that really does separate us from his love, from his experience, his tutelage and leadership. You know, but if we just stop and think about how many people, how many angels and armies that he has encamped around us, there's really no question. But we're so caught up in everyday affairs of our lives that it's hard to imagine that. You know.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Pearl wants us to pray for her. She's got some head pain that she has regarding...
I praise God for the lessons and the uplifting subject.
Can you all hear me? Okay. Can you hear me, Jeremy?
Jeremy's breaking up.
Yeah. Okay. Pearl wants us to pray for her head pain that she has regarding the Jezebel and Leviathan spirit that's been attacking her. So let's go ahead and pray for her. In the name of Jesus right now, we come against these witchcraft attacks upon Pearl right now in Jesus' name. We command them to cease their operation against her or attacks against her in Jesus' name. We command the head pain to go in Jesus' name. Father, we ask and we pray that you give Pearl great and bold faith to believe that this has been done, and that if those attacks come back, we command the pain to go, by the way, out of her head right now in Jesus' name. And if those spirits come back, that she has great and bold faith to rebuke them. No, you can't come in here in Jesus' name, because we have prayed the prayer of faith and you've got to go. I'm a child of God and I ain't got to put up with this. And we thank you, Father, that she is delivered, set free, and pain is gone in the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Pearl, you are healed and delivered in Jesus' name. You believe that?
Yes, I do.
Amen. Praise God.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Willie, did you have your hand raised a while ago? You forgot. Okay, that's all right.
Yeah, I did. I was when you guys were talking about, you know, the miracles, you know, thing that came to me was like, you know, the upper room. That was just, you know, fantastic. And it's like, because he said, then shall you be my witnesses. You know, that first, you know, powerful working of, you know, that greatest miracle that we receive from God, you know, besides Christ, you know, is the Holy Spirit. You know, people really see that God is with you when the power of the Holy Spirit is leading you and teaching you all things.
But that's odd.
Amen. Thank you, Father, for the upper room, the upper room. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Go ahead, Denny.
In 1 Corinthians 12, when he talks about it, it says, and now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And in the church, God has appointed, first of all, then he goes to prophets, and then, I mean, apostles and prophets, and teachers, workers of miracles, and those having gifts of healing, and those able to help others, and those with the gifts of ministrations, and those speaking in different kinds of tongues, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, do all work miracles, do all have the gifts of healing, do all speak in tongues, and do all interpret, but eagerly desire the greater gifts. But I'm having a question about, it says, and in the church, God has appointed, and then, you know, the last statement of, but eagerly desire the greater gifts. I know years ago, Debbie and I were praying, and I felt like the Lord was ministering me about having, you know, the gift of that wonder-working faith, and she felt like in healing. And so, but we never pushed any further. We never really directed faith towards that. I guess we have been like expecting God to all of a sudden do something, but it hasn't really manifested or happened to you know, to say that you could consistently or are using being used in ministry to do, you know, the gifts of, you know, the faith or healings. But, you know, I was just wondering, to eagerly desire the greater gifts, but then where do you go from there with it? As we're learning more about faith, I think that if you have that sense from the Lord of one of those gifts, then you need to direct our faith towards that and begin praying, like the Mark 11 prayer, you know, 11:23-4, and expecting, waiting for God to manifest that gift in you, you know, to operate in you.
Well, yeah. Like we've talked about before, you have a part in the body. I have a part in the body. Everybody has a different part in the body, but they have a part in the body, and it takes all of us together to make the complete body. So, yeah, if your gift is the gift of healing, and Debbie's is word of knowledge, not word of knowledge, but whatever, you know, whatever it is, it don't make any difference. Mm-hmm. If something else, then, of course, when somebody comes to you for whatever her gift is, you say, well, why don't you let her pray for you, because that's her gift. You know, you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that's the way God operates. See, he, what would happen if he gave one man everything, you know?
Yeah.
Puff him up, wouldn't it? Remember what happened to Paul? He had that thorn in his flesh. How many of you want a thorn in the flesh? Well, God does it for a reason. He gives you a part. He gives me a part. My gift was the gift of healings, too, and that was very – and I always sought it, like you're talking about. Always sought it. Always wanted to do that. But God placed that in me to want it. And to do that, and the more I did it, the more successful that the healings came. And the more I read about it, the more I put that word into me, the more those gifts, that gift, worked. Now, it worked at first in my life because God was teaching me faith. I mean, it worked immediately, but then later on, it just kind of averaged out, and you don't worry about whether they get healed or not. You just know that they're going to get healed, right? That's the way I always operated. You're healed in Jesus' name, you know, and don't worry about it. And they get healed. And the same thing with any other gift that God has placed in your mind. It might be, like you said, administration. Somebody's got, that's one thing I ain't got, you know. I don't have, but that gift of teaching. That gift of teaching is a good gift for any man that wants to give out the word of God, and you earnestly desire that, God will give it to you. And just like David has talked about lots of times, he was the last person on earth that he thought God would allow him to teach, because he had a very real fear of standing up in front of people teaching the word of God, but God took that away from him because that was his job, that was his part. So, yeah, that's a good one. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. Thank you.
Okay.
Amen.
Well, okay. We're kind of closing down here. Has anybody else got anything they'd like to pray about or talk about here? Thursday night, we'll talk about the gifts of healings. And if you'd like, we'll get into the gifts of prophecy and tongues, interpretation of tongues. We'll get into that Thursday night. Amen. I'm getting all of this information, by the way. I don't know if I told you, is out of the Holy Spirit and His gifts by Kenneth Hagin. He's studied this with, matter of fact, I don't know if any of you ever heard of Howard Carter. Howard Carter, he spent his whole life teaching and speaking about the gifts of the Spirit and had them in operation most of the time. You know, the more you talk about the gifts of the Spirit, the more in operation they'll be in the fellowship. If you teach about them, if you talk about them, and you learn about them, that's when they'll start manifesting in the fellowship. And that's why I thought it would be awesome for us to do that and keep it going and keep talking about it, you know. Okay, has anybody got any prayer requests before we close out tonight? You know, I've thoroughly enjoyed these fellowships for about the last 2 months. They've really been helpful to me and hopefully to y'all too. It's been really good. Now praise God for it. Lord, I just praise you. And I thank you, Lord, that what you're doing in each one of us, Lord, you're slicing the flesh off of us. You're pushing us, the world away from us, getting us to get out of that carnal life, Lord, and getting us prepared and ready to enter into this wilderness that's coming. And I praise you, Father, for doing that, for getting your bride ready for this wilderness coming, this wilderness experience, Lord. You know, Lord, there's going to be a lot of people that are going to get saved, as you've told us in your word, that the revival is coming, and many, many, probably more people than has ever been saved will be saved during the next 7 years because of what you're going to do, Lord. You're bringing this tribulation upon us, Lord, because you want to shake the church up, get them out of that carnal self life. And Father, these shakings that are coming will do that. And they'll turn to you, Lord, and they'll run to you, and they'll want to know those crazy fanatics, what they were talking about. They're not going to be so crazy anymore, Lord, because they're going to come wanting to know about you and how you operate and what they can do to enter in. And Father, we thank you for that. We just long for that day when revival. You know, Lord, I was thinking about it the other day, how great it's going to be for your people and how devastating it's going to be for the world. But Father, it's going to be the greatest of times during these times of shakings, because you want your people to get their eyes on you and not on the preacher and not on a church building, but on you and in your word. And Father, we thank you that you're doing that in each one of us. Father, and I thank you for it. And I thank you, Lord, that you're going to give everybody that's here and listening tonight a good night's sleep, a supernatural restful sleep. And we thank you, Lord, that everybody that had prayer tonight, that the prayers were answered. We trust you, Lord, that's exactly what has happened. We thank you for all the healings tonight. We thank you, Lord, for all the deliverances tonight. In Jesus' name, we praise you, Father, for putting that supernatural gift of faith in each one of us to believe. Lord, that's our walk, and I praise you for it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, good night, everybody.
Amen. Love you.